President.
Well, did you get back?
Yes, I'm back in Washington.
Yeah, how'd you go?
Oh, I came down by car this morning.
Oh, I see. Well, you could have. We went by helicopter. You could have come with us.
I gathered it was better not to have the press there.
Oh, I see. It looked a little political. I see.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just as well.
Just as well. Right.
It's not that long a ride, actually.
Right. Well, how's everything? What's your today?
Well, it's good. I'm meeting with Conley later this afternoon. Just came home for a little lunch, and then I'm going back in to work with him on the names. I think we have more than enough to start, and I've just been doing some more reviewing and checking our people, and they've been doing a little better than either Conley or I realized. So I think he's going to be ready by early or midweek to announce.
Right.
And, I don't know whether he gave you any indication on that this morning, but...
No, he didn't. I didn't go really ask him.
Well, we talked briefly when you got back, and I think he's going to have enough by the time we get through. We've got about 20
right.
good names, and the moment we announce, in my opinion, we'll start picking up more.
Yes, sure.
I mean, that'll give some people a place to come where they don't know right now
right.
where to go or who to talk to.
That's right. Good.
So,
good.
John and I, what we agreed is that 4 o'clock this afternoon, we go over the list. And
right.
He would then start making calls. He's pretty well briefed for Meet the Press. I don't think he needs a lot of...
Oh, he's so good at fielding things anyway.
He's excellent. I hope what I'm shooting for, and they picked office space today, his people did, from among the sites that we had for them, and picked a storefront, and that's been settled, and they have now 3 or 4 staff people total, so I think we can get to that. I really think we can get it launched and off the ground this week.
Right. It's good that he has that there, George Christian, isn't it?
Yes, he's excellent.
That's a good name, too. And the press likes him.
I don't think this fellow Jacobson is good, not as a first man. He's probably good as a number two man.
Right.
But in any event, we'll...
We hope he gets Watson, but if he doesn't, that's right. I don't know what the hell that... Petal and Hammer is playing such a strange game that we just can't take that up. Conley's right on any terms like that.
Oh, no. That's the way Hammer plays. I didn't want to get into it in too much detail in front of Conley, but I've been on the other side from that guy practicing law, and he's a rough customer. He's just trying to milk hell out of us.
That's right.
My view of that is we'll get him, and if we don't get him, the hell with him.
There are others.
We've got a good crew. We've got
this
young fellow that I hired that Conley likes, and we have Jacobson, and we have Christian. So we'll start putting a staff together.
Right.
No problem.
Good.
The two things that Conley and I have to do now... These are the two things we talked about this morning. One is set the budget and be sure that we're not inconsistent with anything McGregor's doing.
Right.
And sign up the office space and staff, and then Conley just simply has to call these people. Like, I have a number of people that I have lined up, but if they ever get asked by the press, they have to have talked to Conley once.
Right.
And it just would...
I think he'll do that when he gets the time, and he'll... you know what I mean? Don't you think so?
Oh, yes. He said he wanted to. And he wanted to do it.
And he's off to get it. And of course, the Wallace thing has to come take very high priority, too. Even if we delay the opening a week, if he gets Wallace, that's worth it.
That, in my book, is number one priority.
Absolutely.
I had a call back from Marsh and Brody this morning, and they said, first of all, France wants to get on that committee in the worst way. He wants to be one of the founders.
Good.
Secondly, Snyder would like to work for us. I sensed that yesterday.
Well, he's smart. Let's get him.
Oh, I was impressed as hell with him. I just really liked the guy.
Right.
And, third, the meeting yesterday was very well received. They liked it, and they now feel comfortable. And so I think
we... Well, that's the thing. If we can just sort of cut these guys away, and that'll be terrific.
Well, you study that goddamn poll data, and I hate to say this because it sounds so damn overconfident, but if you take that Wallace factor out of there, there just isn't any way that fellow can close that gap.
Well, you know, it's a 20-point gap, 19 to 20, but they can be closed, Chuck. It's going to be hard because we're not going to be sitting on our hands.
Well, it's where it is, Mr. President. I mean, it's in that Catholic area, in the labor area. I don't think he can... I just don't
I see your point. In other words, you think it's going to be hard for some of them to go back?
That's right. That's right. See, if it were Humphrey, I would say, yeah, we'll turn this thing into a typical Democrat-Republican campaign by October.
Yeah.
And we'll probably help him by most of our fellows going out and beating the drums for the Republican Party, but it isn't that. It's quite different. And the defections, they've been there now for 6 or 8 months, and particularly in the Catholic area. They've been there in the labor area, really, by and large, for 18 months, and rank and file now.
Yeah.
I look at that Gallup data in detail and that Harris data in detail. I just don't think that can be closed that easily, not in 100 days. And I'm not even sure this fellow can get well. The more I thought about our conversation last night, I just don't see how he's going to do it.
Well, I was, Conley was pointing out that I was, what I thought was really the Washington Post this morning, really, that goddamn editorial on him was, you read it?
Yes, sir.
Horrible.
Yeah.
That makes him look like that he was the guy that brought these slaves over in this. Jesus Christ, that was terrible.
Horrible.
It's just unbelievable. Somebody, I told Clausen to really, I told Ziegler to give him hell about that. Then you read Fritchie. Clayton Fritchie, did you see him?
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable, you know, about the first ladies and all that stuff. I mean, just ignores anybody that, and this is going to be there. And then, but boy, the one that Connolly just practically ripped on was that one by Braden, you know, this, we can be proud, we have a, my God almighty.
Horrible. But
well, you know, we never, understand, I don't want stuff like that, but as you know, these, any columnists, even our greatest friends that write something, but they never slobber like that. This is unbelievable.
But the slobbering is what gets you, and it comes from the Bradens and the Fritchies, not so much from Mark Childs.
Really?
One AP reporter who's been doing it with regularity, and it's always...
Who is he?
I don't know. It's always an unnamed piece. I keep trying to find out.
The guy that's done the series of three?
Right. And, but it's a... It, you know, it's a pattern. You can tell the writing style.
Clausen can tell, can't he?
He's trying to find out, and of course we could always call Paul Miller and Dick Steele and a few of those fellows and just raise a little hell over it, because...
Yeah.
But that's where it's coming from. That's the Braden piece, I thought was especially interesting, where they said that Braden, who of course knows him well, as Kissinger was telling
him. Oh, yeah, well, Kissinger is there every night, every Sunday night.
Said that he's a man of very strong temper, which he takes pains to conceal.
Mm-hmm.
And has reached an agreement with one of his aides. Obviously, that's Mankiewicz.
Never to send a letter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Without Mankiewicz saying it. But that confirms the low boiling point that Lovestown talked about. That he does have a temper. Mm-hmm. And that tells you something about strategy, because that, I still say, we cracked musky with that. And the right attack on this guy at the right time, and I'm not so sure it should wait too long.
Yeah.
Just might take him apart. And, you know, he has to be pretty good. If you try to put yourself in his position today, Mr. President, you have to be pretty goddamn discouraged. A week out of that convention hasn't given... The only thing he has pulled off is Larry O'Brien. That was a smart move. And that's
a
problem. But other than that, my God, the rebuff by Meany, the loss of all that money that I'm damn sure he was counting on, the kick in the nuts by the Teamsters, the defections of Democrats, I mean, we...
Like Rizzo.
Well, you know, it's part of that I went through, but...
He knows there are others, too, that's right.
Oh, sure. Well, it's been in the paper every day. I mean, Mrs. Mayer was in this morning's paper, and I'm damn sure he's read that.
Yeah.
And there hasn't... As a matter of fact, there has not been a day this week when we have not had a... We have not had a Democratic defection. Not always a big name like Rizzo, but...
Oh, sure.
But pretty good names. And... all over the place, and in the South, and of course the South is coming apart on them.
I think there's no way you can get the South, that's for sure. I mean, there's busing position and everything, there's just no way.
And I would think that Chicago situation, which has him terribly, terribly worried, the action of that judge.
Yeah.
That's Daley's appointee, who's trying to throw Singer and everybody else into the can.
Right.
Won't disqualify himself for that. Associated himself with the comments that these people were fascists.
Incidentally, how did the networks play on Economic News, all right?
Yes, sir. They, two of them led with it, and three played it bullishly in the news.
Well, the papers were excellent. I was so surprised to see the Post playing it well in the Times.
Post gave it a hell of a play, and that New York Times lead headline, gain in economy fastest in 65, price rise slows. I think the Economic News played about as well as as we could expect it to play. It was
that's right.
Both on the CPI front and on the GNP, that was a hell of a good story. Stein was the Washington Post editorial this morning on Connally, Mr. President, I think that the Jack Anderson column is perhaps worth all of the others combined.
What the hell is that? I don't read that. I don't read him, but what do you have?
Matter of fact, I hadn't seen it until I got home a few minutes ago, and my wife showed it to me.
Yeah.
And all he says it prefers McGovern is the headline.
Yeah.
That column is going to see a lot of distribution.
He had that. Is he there?
That's his headline. No. That's his headline. It's based on the news reports. God knows why he. Why he wrote it. I can't. I can't believe that he did. It's just a headline. It's good. I mean,
where can you send that? You can send that to.
Oh hell, to the veterans organizations, to the labor. You know that. Brochure is being mailed out to 12,000 labor leaders this weekend.
Yeah, good.
And. No, we'll have no problem with getting wide distribution on that. Of course, Anderson, I'm sorry to say, gets a very wide distribution.
Sure.
But that's a delightful headline. Jesus Christ. I just think things like this...
You think they'd dig him in? Of course, some might think, well, that's going to bring peace. No. They can't think if the enemy's for the other guy. They just, that goes too far, doesn't it?
That's too far, yeah. I mean, no matter, well, it doesn't go too far for that constant... 20%.
Oh, 30, 25, 30 maybe. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's if that is the case, the country's headed. This is totally true.
Uh-huh.
Me, this one time, Anderson's telling the truth.
Of course. Oh hell, we've the star this week had that front page piece on Radio Illinois, which I was amazed to see them play as much as they did. And that's why even though the Bradens are going to slumber all over him, I still think there's enough. Media attention on his liberal position.
Right.
I think that Harris pulled out of that we had sent up to his last night is very accurate. I really do. I think that.
Yeah.
Pierre Winfrey has been going around the country making speeches.
Good.
Our people aren't too happy about him because they don't. Our own economists don't like him much, but he's.
Why not? They think he's too bullish.
They think he's erratic.
Well, he always is, but that's all right. He's saying something. He's making news. But go ahead.
Is he making news? But he said that he's really getting fired up. He said, I talked to all the economic writers, and he said the prevailing line now that they're trying to use to clean him up is that, nobody has to really worry about...
You mean the Congress will save him?
That the Congress will prevent him from doing any of these rash things.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
The
president's got to stop the rash Congress. That's the way things work.
Well, that's right. And But Rinfrey was just saying that's the way the liberal economic writers, there aren't many that are any good, as you well know.
Yeah.
That's the way they're trying to clean him up. I don't even think that's taking hold. I think the McGovern market, the stock market thing, which you read every day.
I
mean, for 2 weeks, I haven't seen.
Yeah, the stories, even though I mentioned International Monetary and Northern Ireland and peace talks, but they also always put in fear of McGovern.
Yes, and that Kidder Peabody report, you know that...
I didn't know about that.
Nakagama, or whatever that Japanese fellow's name is, he wrote just a devastating piece on the McGovern market.
What did he say?
It came out this week, his newsletter, in which he said that the whole decline in the market was due to the fear of McGovern, that fellow's economic policies are irrational, would lead to economic chaos, and he goes through a whole deep analysis of why. And we've asked Kidder Peabody to distribute to beyond the normalist, but that kind of thing is getting through, and I just don't see how in the period of time he has that he can get back from that stuff. I mean, I think that stuff is going to continue to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know damn well the defense issue will continue to haunt him.
I think the defense issue and that stuff.
Yep, and the defections in the Democratic ranks. That'll
haunt him some.
Oh,
sure.
Bound to it.
And basically, the other thing, and which sort of tied to the defense issue, is that we've got to remember that people will figure that, the thing I mentioned last night about the courts, we ought to have some sort of a committee that would, lawyers committee or something, that would say that, or a law enforcement committee, maybe police and the rest, and in that area, who say we praise the Nixon court, and let's not turn the clock back the other way. Can you imagine the kind of judges McGovern would appoint?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the point.
It really scares me, actually.
So there's the point. Lawyers, good lawyers ought to be scared to death.
Well, we're
and that gets to the lifestyle. their gut, and Meany feels it.
Oh, Meany feels it strongly. As you pointed out last night, I talked to Schultz yesterday after he had seen Meany, and he said, if anything, the feelings are more intense.
Yeah.
He said, we're going to be doing a lot of work with this fellow. I noticed that International Conference of Police Associations got played in both the Times and the Post. Page 2 in the Post, and to my pleasant surprise, they carried all of his lines about strengthening the court and say President Nixon's record demonstrates his understanding of the need to support law enforcement officers. The President has supported judiciary appointments he has made, convinced us the police officers' interests would be better served under President Nixon's leadership than any other president or potential nominee. Now, Kiernan is a great guy. We're going to get him in next week, and he has offered, and we're going to take him up on it, to just spend his time going out to these police beneficial associations and working for us, because it was a unanimous endorsement.
Good.
And I think a group like that can talk about the court appointments and can talk about being criminals.
And but anyway, his getting off, he can't get off. That's one thing. He can't. Well, he can throw in something in his acceptance speech about, well, we got to do something about narcotics, but how the hell can he do that on the one side and then say he's going to loosen up on marijuana, even though he's watered it down a bit? I think the public, I don't know how you can, well, they can change. They forget so quickly what a man says. I don't know.
No, but they don't forget impressions. They have the impression that the kids like his position on marijuana better than they like yours.
Well, they know this, that there are no marijuana smokers that support me, and a hell of a lot support him.
That's right. They've seen enough pictures of that. And even when he talks about, well, it should be a misdemeanor instead of a felony, people think, God damn it, people shouldn't smoke marijuana, period. That isn't a question of, what is it, a misdemeanor or a felony? As lawyers, we understand that. But,
yeah.
But people just don't want their kids smoking marijuana. That's I think on an issue like that, that's one that's very much like busing, where you have to keep it simple.
But his original position, Chuck, was not to make it a misdemeanor.
No.
Wasn't it to legalize it, wasn't it?
That's correct. And he has backed off now and said he just really favors reducing the penalties for it. Well,
that's, of course, I do that. I favor that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some reduction of penalties. I haven't said what, but I oppose, my position basically is I oppose the legalizing of marijuana, period.
Right.
That's the way we got to put it.
That's the only way to put it. Yeah, just, we oppose it and he's for it. And then he'll say, well, it's just a difference in penalties. Well, to me, that's a moral issue, and it's kind of a fear issue. And it's one that people just have to, it's like busing. People consider it in very simplistic terms, I think. Those he can't get off of, Mr. President. The defense issue, he shows no intention of getting off of. And I think we'll cut him on that a lot harder than he realizes.
The defense, we've got to kill him on that.
Happily, fortunately, we have a Secretary of Defense who's just
a real gut fighter.
Totally turned on that issue. Totally turned on.
A real gut fighter, and he can cut him to pieces.
That's right. And he loves it. He's got great interest in it. And that's kind of his baby now, and he's taking it on, and I've told him he wants to stick with it right all the way through. So he can't get away from that one. He can't get away. He can fudge the tax. He probably will make some points on the tax issue.
In other words, he'll make himself less frightening on the economic issue, don't you think?
I don't think he can make himself less frightening because the sophisticates, he can make himself less... And I'm not sure he can to the working class. That brilliant piece that Crystal wrote, that you read and sent to me, is that...
Yeah.
Very, very well done. You know, people just don't want to feel that they're being taxed to pay for services
that they don't want,
and the people who aren't willing to work for it. That there is that working class resentment that is different than the middle class liberalism that he talks about.
That's right.
And
that's right.
There is a real schism between that you have to exploit. But I was just looking over these names that we have for the Democrats, and I think when I get through these with Conley, he's going to be ready to announce. I haven't put them all together in one place until this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have a former mayor of Boston, which I've forgotten about. We have a state senator in Massachusetts. We have a mayor in Rhode Island, biggest city, who's at least against McGovern, don't know whether he'll cross the bridge completely. Former candidate for the Senate in Connecticut. We have the country. We have in Connecticut, we have in New York, we've got Cannon, the police fellow now, we've got Chern, Calhoun, Brennan, former party leader in the Bronx. Got Rizzo, we got the head of the steelworkers in Pennsylvania, Carcella. McCarroll, the head of the auto workers in eastern Pennsylvania. Got the mayor of Elizabeth, New Jersey. Got Lausche in Ohio. Mayor of Baltimore this morning, I don't know if you noticed that in the paper, said he wasn't going to make his Democratic mayor, was not going to make his choice until he saw what the positions of the two parties were in the cities, because he was not at all satisfied with the governor's position.
Okay.
Got Campbellman, we got Jack Marsh in Virginia who wants to come on.
Right, getting the best you can get. You had Campbellman and Kenny, and Campbellman representing Humphrey, Kennedy, Kenny representing Jackson. That's
right.
That's a line that I think would be very good.
Well, I think right here in the city, yeah, and those fellows can fan out across the country for us. And Kenny,
on a letter, it'll look good. Former finance chairman for Hubert Humphrey, and then that guy out in California, in the state of Washington, former state chairman for Adlai Stevenson in '56. That's a good name.
That's right. Oh yeah, there's quite a few of them, really. This alderman in Chicago, President Alderman, and very much a part of the Daily Machine. So that's kind of a tip off. That mayor in Nebraska that your daughter saw.
Oh yes.
He comes through very strong. He's Jewish. Schwarzkopf is his name. And when we called him, he said, "You just tell the president." He said, "Please, that not only am I 100% for him, it's just going to go down the line for him, but," he said, "I'm getting all my friends out of here." He said, my Democrats, he said, we're the shopkeepers and we're the little folks around town. He said, none of us will take that guy. We want to beat him. So the mayor of Lincoln, Nebraska, that's not bad to have a sitting Democratic mayor.
Sure.
So, and of course, all those Jewish names, holy smokes, we're overloaded with them if we want to use them.
Use some of those and you got to get sprinkled south a bit.
Well, I think we have a good shot at Horace Carnegie. We've got.
Be sure you get somebody from Florida. I'd like to have really some of those states out down there, Florida, Georgia, maybe.
Well, we have that whole Columbus, Georgia Democratic organization that bolted. It was in the paper this week. We have we have a shot at Bob McNair. I don't know how good it is.
Yeah.
He's at least interested.
It's probably hard.
We will get some others. It just means putting a little arm pressure on him.
From a poor Jewish family in Brooklyn.
That's right.
See?
And the kids kind of like the rebellious...
That's right. He tells them to get those television cameras out of there. They like him.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Well, that's damn interesting.
But we don't know. I don't say anything about that because I have to confirm it myself, but we'll get him.
That's well worth the... It's well worth exploring.
Yeah.
Those kind of people...
you can put, incidentally, among those you can check on Charleston Heston. I have his letter, and that he should have, before his name is on a letterhead, he should be called.
Oh, yes. No.
But he's a good one. But he'll go. There's no question.
Did you read that letter? It's a beautiful letter, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Really
he says he was an independent who's always voted Democrat, so we can call him a Democrat for now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No, no. And this committee will take independence. In fact, John and I were talking about some subheading on the letterhead, which says...
Democrats and independents.
Democrats and independents, all Americans. Broaden it out a little bit, but the Democrats for Nixon is more catchy, is it?
Yeah, Democrats for Nixon.
As a short title, because it every time somebody joins it, it sticks it to McGovern, is the beauty of it. Every time you get that name in print, it's a plus. And John will make good use.
Well, this is a real Democratic committee, as I say. The Eisenhower one was not... it was good. It was good, but it was basically Southern-oriented.
Yes.
Southern, you know.
Yep.
There's the Jimmy Burns and the Texas crowd and Kennan in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And John Minor Wisdom and so forth. But ours is basically nationwide. That's as Bill White points that out this morning.
That's
not
right.
That the Democratic defection is not... It's a nationwide thing.
Well, just as open as Mr. President, with only one, we've only had one fellow who's been working the mayors and county officials and governors. We have right now, let's see, 5, 6, 7 mayors, if you want to include Malchester, small cities, Schwarzkopf, Lincoln, Nebraska, but Louis Welsh is just, we'll take a call from Conley, that's all. I know we're going to pick up a lot of southern mayors, and that's easy, but we have a nationwide sampling of that. We've got a couple of good former mayors' names. Got some candidates. We got a candidate from the Senate in 1970, which is pretty good. We have a lot of former secretaries of this side or the other Democratic administration. So it is national, and of course the big Jewish names are big defections in the
sure.
In what has always been considered at least the liberal, what has been the liberal.
Sure. No question about that.
So it's not bad considering we've had it for 10 days. And of course, the labor, the
interesting thing is that if you could get Wallace out, then according to both Gallup and Harris, it's a 19 to 20 point spread,
uh-huh.
And that is a hell of a spread. I agree, but Connie makes an interesting point today. He says that we've got to be ready, particularly about 3 weeks before the end of the campaign. If the other, as he says, the gap inevitably narrows. And he says, when it narrows, he says, you mustn't let it get great momentum. It's then that you can really have a danger, because then it feeds on itself. The momentum feeds on itself.
Exactly.
So he says, then that's when you have to strike. You got to strike and try to nip that momentum that they're getting in the bud.
Well, that's the brilliance of the Haldeman thesis of no campaign. In other words, you don't define the campaign. I think the worst...
Don't get frozen in.
That's
sure.
Absolutely correct on that. You may
right.
want to start campaigning in September. You may want to wait.
Yeah.
You may want to never have a formal campaign. I mean,
you
just may want to keep doing things. See, the thing I'd like to have in our hip pocket are a couple of bombshells. That we can drop if we need to. Well, I would think there might be things that we could do if... the occasion arose, but there. I was reading a very, very interesting interview with Cadell and Himmelman, who are two of McGovern's top people, and they outlined their strategy in a very candid way. A piece that Saul Friedman wrote, and who was of course fairly friendly to us, but what basically they said is that they're going to sort of lie low. They want to keep they expect to keep a rather wide gap through the month of August. Then they hope to close, and in September the gap somewhat, and as they say here, the same way he ran his primary campaigns, come up from behind while on President Nixon while he's not looking in mid-October, and be able, therefore, to beat him 4 weeks later. The McGovern forces will have to surprise Nixon, force him to come out of the White House, force him to drop the statesmanlike gesture of an incumbent president, and then fight like a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And on and they go, there's quite a few quotes in here. They feel that if they can get up to within 5 or 6 points in the middle of October, that it'll be a sure sign that they can close it, because they know that we'll
blow it. But that, on that point, I just don't think they're going to get that far in the middle of October.
That's the whole key.
They might get 10. They might get to 10. That's quite likely.
10 they can't close.
Yeah. But I don't. I think 10 is awfully hard to close.
But I think there's a way to keep this fella down and not let him build momentum. In other words, the thing we have to do, and I asked Talbot to do this for me, and he didn't, because he said it's foolish. He can't do this. The thing we've got to do is keep enough pressure on this fella right from this day forward.
Yeah.
That he never really has the opportunity to consolidate his forces and begin to develop a consistent theme. And I think the key to this, Mr. President, is the use of surrogates effectively, Conley being, in my book, number one in this regard. And we use the cabinet fellows, too, who are articulate on this.
Sure. They can get
a great what we did with Muskie back in January, and that is...
Well, Laird will get under his hide.
Well, Laird will. And where we just keep pressuring this guy, and when he thinks he's making particular strides in an area, just keep dropping it on him to...
That's right.
To keep him from building momentum. In other words,
keep the pressure. That's right. Keep the pressure right on him.
Because if you keep a gap like we have now, and he can't...
You got to figure that the gap, I think, would close to 15, certainly by in the month of August, due to the congressional thing. The congressional thing is not a good thing for us, Chuck. It's just no way we can beat the goddamn. You know what I mean?
No,
we're constantly being beat over the head, and that's going to be tough. It's going to be negative for us.
Uh-huh. Yes, that is.
And then we will hope to come with our convention, make it positive enough that we stop our erosion at that point. Now in September, we've got to have our other guys out raising hell. Well, anyway.
It's the same article, Mr. President, says that he's going to pin his campaign on IT&T, which I just don't think sells.
Oh, Christ.
Bigness,
yeah.
20,000 American deaths in Vietnam.
Mm.
A backdown on civil rights. That does not hurt us.
Great, I hope he says
that. I just don't think it does.
Yeah.
The backlash is bigger today than it's ever been. And to the $10 million in campaign funds he has secretly collected. Well, I haven't seen a damn thing about the $10 million campaign funds in a month. And we may hear about that again, but...
Sure.
But none of those, as I look at that, none of those have really got issues. You know, if this economy continues to churn on the way that...
I do think that something might be done without being personal. Something ought to be done with regard to... getting him to disclose funds or who are his big contributors or something of that sort, some sort of article like that. He's likely to react to that.
Well, that we're trying, we are trying to do. We've fed some stuff out, Clausen has, and he's pretty good at maneuvering that stuff. That piece yesterday, was a masterstroke. But we'll get some of that out. It won't come from us, but Evans and Novak has some of it.
Right.
And he's going to have to go for some big money. He's got to now, from the left. And that may start to surface and neutralize that issue a little bit.
Right. Well, get out to your...